All right, Bucks fans, what a day this is. What a game aftermath this has been. I have just been on cloud freaking nine. The Bucks are 1-0. They just pounded the Saints. It's a great, great, great feeling because wherever you were as a Bucks fan, whoever you are as a Bucks fan, you did not expect your team to get off to a massive lead and hang 48 on the Saints in New Orleans. There's no way. You may have predicted a victory like I did in the last podcast and on the Ira Kaufman podcast, and for very good reasons, but the way the Bucks won, that's so important, so big, so huge, and it's why every Bucks fan still cannot stop smiling. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast, Tuesday morning edition. Get off my case. I told you last time, it's not always going to be exactly when you think, but that's why you got to subscribe. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. You get a free alert when the podcast posts. And as you know, like most of you do, you can listen right on JoeBucksFan.com. The goal is always a Monday podcast. My life is complicated. Mondays are complicated. Can't always do it. Sometimes I'll be traveling. I didn't go to this game. Lee DeCamper from Joe Bucks Fan and Ira Kaufman were out there, part of the Bourbon Street takeover. But we are here today. There is a lot to talk about. I have so much to get off my chest, and it's exciting. We're presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, 58 years serving the Tampa community, and Discount Garage Doors. They've got 20 years in as a local company, now servicing across the Bay Area, dgdoors.com. We'll talk more about both of them later. What really excited you about that game? You really got to think about it because there's a lot of levels if you really wanted to pick one. I think the best part of this is that the coaching on the offensive side of the ball, they played to their strengths, They weren't afraid to pass first. They weren't afraid to say, you know what? Okay, we've got a healthy super receiving core. We are in the Superdome. Perfect conditions for passing. Our guys, our legs are strong. We've got DeSean Jackson out there. We should be running and lighten this thing up. That's the strength of this team, the receiving core. Now, Freddie Martino got to play over Justin Watson, which tells you that the rookie doesn't play special teams yet. But still, the four receivers and the tight ends, the Bucks looked at their team and said, we're not going to be afraid. It's the big stick that we've been waiting for. We're going to open this thing up. And like I told you on the podcast last week, and sometimes I mix up what I say on the Ira Kaufman podcast, but I know I said it here too. The bottom line is this was our best shot in these first three games because of the time to prepare. It's the healthiest you were going to get fits, and all the receivers were ready to go. The receiving core thrived through the preseason, and nobody even got banged up. So they let it rip, and it was successful. And Peyton Barber had the early tough running to keep the Saints defense honest, and the pass blocking was extraordinary. Not perfect, but extraordinary, especially from the running backs. Peyton Barber, go watch that game again. Phenomenal job pass blocking. Phenomenal complete performance by Barber. And here we go. They lit it up. And the defense was brutal, but it made a couple of big plays. And here we are, 1-0. 1-0, literally shocking the NFL world. Not shocking me. Not shocking a lot of Bucks fans. Because let's face it, the Bucks beat the Saints in Week 17 when the Saints needed the game. They went into that believing they had to win to take the NFC South title. So no surprise. Really no surprise here. But the surprise is how they did it. And sometimes how they did it is more important than the W. A coach won't tell you that, but fans looking in week one toward how a season is going to play out, you better believe that how you play in many ways is very much as important as the W. You need the W, you need the confidence, you need the wins. The idea is to make the playoffs, but the Bucks played on offense in a way that lets you know they can beat any team in the NFL. With their offense. And that's exciting. When's the last time anybody could sit here and say that? You just simply couldn't do it. I don't even know if you ever could do it. So we're in new territory, and I'm excited. We got a lot to get to. new general manager Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. He is also very excited, a true stick carrier, a lifetime Bucks fan, a local guy. He invites all listeners and their families to Bill Curry Ford to see the savings they are offering to the Tampa community. Go online, BillCurryFord.com, select the car you're interested in, and the price will be clearly displayed just for using the word stick carrier or Joe Bucks fan, whatever you want. Just go let them know, Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford. You'll receive an extra $500 savings. No catch. It's that easy. $500 savings. Shop online at Bill Curry Ford. Tell them what you're interested in, and you get $500 off. Just let them know you're listening to the podcast or Joe Bucks fan or you're a stick carrier. Share your Bucks love. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has proudly served the Tampa community for 58 years. You've all heard the name Bill Curry Ford, but things have changed. Very exciting dealership right now. We're proud to work with them. And hurricane season, you know, I spent a lot of some time yesterday dealing with family members who are planning on evacuations, thinking about evacuation plans for this Hurricane Florence, which is serious business. It's not going to affect us, but it is still a sad situation that's coming toward the United States. And it reminds you that you got to be diligent. There are other storms out there. Discount Garage Doors. Discount Garage Doors. You got to get that garage door ready for hurricane season. You might maybe had a problem last year and it's not the way it should be. But hurricane safety, a lot of it can tie to your garage door. That's a big place that can be a problem in a hurricane. But if your garage door has any issues or you feel you need a new one, Discount Garage Doors is the way to go. The website, dgdoors.com, dgdoors.com. Same day free service call. They'll come out, give you a free diagnosis, tell you what's wrong. They can fix it right there. Or they have a wonderful selection of brand new doors, all at great prices. Discount Garage Doors, a local company. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. They even have coupons at dgdoors.com. Check them out. Discount Garage Doors. All right, I got to go to Ryan Fitzpatrick because he's on the mind of a lot of Bucks fans. A lot of passionate Bucks fans who want Fitz to succeed. They want him to go 3-0, ride this thing to 16-0 and take it all the damn way. Or at least 14-2 and a playoff run and home field and NFC title game at Raymond James Stadium. That's the mentality right now. That's my mentality. I just want to win, man. We are so beaten down as a fan base, so abused that this is exciting. And I don't want reality to set in on a Tuesday. I want to start thinking about, like a lot of Bucks fans are, thinking about what can this team do next week. The Eagles are missing their top receiver. They're not an explosive offense. Nick Foles, not a good preseason. He's not a great quarterback. Had a great run last year. He's an excellent backup, but he's not a great quarterback. They're coming into our crib. This Bucks team, they've screwed up in week two years in a row. After winning in week one, they've been brutal in week two. But I think this is the year they fix that because they're not going on the road. They're home for the world champs, and everybody gets up to play the world champs at home unless you've got no pulse and no heart, and I don't think the Bucks are in that boat. So I think we're going to avoid the week two funk, blues, rollover, whatever you want to call it. I really do. But forgetting about, we'll go get to that a little bit later, the mentality of this team. But Fitzpatrick, how good can he be? How good is he? Where does this all stand after a game like that? And what about Jameis? And here's where I stand. I am not looking to get rid of Jameis. I don't think the Bucks should be thinking about moving on from Jameis. Jameis as a quarterback next year, if he's the starter, $21 million, which is what is due him as the starter next year if he makes the roster. That's inexpensive for a starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't want to hear that, oh, well, we don't want to pay him. That's what everybody's paying their quarterback. Kirk Cousins, the whole NFC South. We're going to say we can't compete because we're paying Jameis too much and everybody else is paying $20 million for a quarterback in the NFC South? Come on. Atlanta's going to be paying more. Same for the Saints, same for Carolina. So the money end of it is not an excuse. I get that you can use the money for other things, but Jameis has shown his talent and has shown his ability, and if he stays as the starter next year, he's inexpensive. by league standards. It's a price increase for us, but it's inexpensive by league standards. Now, when I say this about Fitzpatrick, we all know Fitzpatrick's history, right? He wasn't a starter anywhere after he lost the Jets job. He's been known for inconsistent play, and he used to throw a ton of picks. But here he is with the Bucs, his fourth team. And if you look at it in a deeper way, Fitzpatrick, since 2014, since that year launched, he's 21-20 as a starter. He's 3-1 as a Buccaneers starter. He has played well in this system. He looks very, very comfortable. And he would not be the first quarterback who gets better in his 30s and settles in and finds a system that works for him. So I'm not the guy who's so quick to write off Fitzpatrick as, yeah, he sucks, he's Fitz. Yeah, he's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He was a 7th-round pick. He's not a super physical specimen. He's 35 years old, but you just can't write it off. The NFL history would tell you not to. I wrote a post on JoeBucksFan.com last night. Has Fitzpatrick found his offense, his prime? It's not a knock on Jameis. I don't even mention Jameis in the post. It's just about Fitz, and maybe he is that guy. Maybe he is that Vinny Testaverde. Maybe he is that Steve DeBerg. Maybe he is that Rich Gannon, guys who blossomed later in their careers. Testaverde wasn't any good till he hit his 30s, and he was only a star with the Jets, with his fourth team at 35 years old. DeBerg, same thing. He left the Bucs in his 30s. He's 2 years in the playoffs. He's battling Jim Kelly and Dan Marino in consecutive years in the AFC. Gannon, we know Gannon's story. Most people know that better because he was with Gruden in Oakland, his reclamation project. So it happens. Now, none of those guys won a Super Bowl. So I'm not saying Super Fitz is the guy to lead us to the promised land, but this team needs to win. This team is all about this year. It was built with urgency. And if somehow Fitz keeps this up, it's going to be very interesting to not just look at the record. I want to know how Fitz is playing. Because they could be 3-0, and if Fitz isn't playing that great, I'm all in with Jameis. Let's go. But if Fitz is just Mr. Thriving in this offense, you can't just pretend it doesn't exist. You can't have your head in the sand. And I don't want to hear that Jameis's ego, oh, he's not going to like it, he can't handle being on the bench. Baloney. If the Bucs are 3-0, or the Bucs are 2-1, and Fitz is dominating and continues to play great football, which of course is dominating, obviously, ride it out. See what happens. What's the worst that'll happen? Jameis can get his plenty of practice reps. He can be ready. He can grow from the experience. The team is never going to turn on Dirk Cutter because they're riding with a hot quarterback. You know, you don't have to have a controversy. You can do this the smart way. I just want the team to win. So I have an open mind. I know a lot of you don't. You think this is crazy talk, but a lot of you do. But this is not about me having negative feelings toward Jameis. I'm not saying trade Jameis or anything else. But don't mess with this team if the offense is thriving. And you got to remember the entertainment value. I'd never lose sight of that. If Fitz is playing well and this is fun and the Bucs are winning, keep it going. Keep it going. Come on. The stuff like this can happen in sports. And it happens every single year. So maybe this is our year for something wacky and wild like that. And I don't rule it out. But I think this is another good experience for Jameis to watch this team and this offense thrive. And to gain even more confidence when he comes back. That he doesn't have to press. And he can trust his blocking. I don't know. But the Fitz train, it's going to be very interesting to watch. These next couple of weeks, we're going to see a lot from Ryan Fitzpatrick. And if it looks good, it's going to be a national quarterback controversy here, and I think Dirk Cutter would lean toward playing Fitz and keeping it going. Because look what Cutter did. He switched to Todd Monken. That was not the easy choice for Dirk Cutter to give up play calling. He knows what play callers get paid in this league. He knows how they're revered. He knows that it's a path to being a head coach. Cutter didn't make that decision likely, but he did it because he thought it was the right thing for the momentum of the team and that it could be handled and he could do some more things, but bottom line is he thought Monken would be damn good at it. And if Fitz is rolling, I think Cutter will have the same kind of mentality. Is let's just keep rolling with this. I'm not going to mess with it. And it's my career on the line. And if we're winning games, we can get to Jameis later. I just think that's how it's going to go. But hopefully the Bucs keep winning. That's my only focus here. This is just too exciting as a Bucks fan. Now, as far as the team goes, I mentioned it earlier, the mentality. They have got to find a way. Cutter has got to push the right buttons to have this team crazy hungry this week. Now, he shouldn't have to push any buttons, but week two has been an issue. Ira Kaufman's column this week was spot on, saying focus is now the challenge. That is the challenge. The Bucks have collapsed in week two, and that's not a coincidence, just like they've won both opening days, just like the Saints have now lost four in a row on opening day. Actually, I think it's even five in a row, or maybe four at home, five in a row overall. So it's important. And I think the fact that Cutter had players in the locker room yesterday instead of giving them a true day off, that might speak to that a little bit. I don't know. Maybe he'll practice a little differently, but hey, if you don't change things, you get the same results. I think I mentioned earlier that the Bucks won the last two opening days, and now it's three in a row is really what I meant to say. And that, it's just not a coincidence. So Cutter's got to break this chain here. And I thought it was telling. I wrote this on Sunday. Cutter, talking to the Buccaneers radio network, made it very clear. He said that the first drive of the game for the Bucks was the most important drive of the game. And he said, quote, that kind of put the calm back in everybody. And that, to me, was very, very telling. Put the calm back in everybody. They were down 7-0 with 11 minutes to play in the first quarter. You telling me the team was rattled by giving up a touchdown to the Saints, who they know are going to score, you know, 25 to 30 points a game? So to me, Cutter was acknowledging, yeah, the team was kind of rattled. We were rattled. And of course, you remember the Saints just marched right down. Quan Alexander didn't look sharp. Neither did Lavonte David on that drive. The linebackers looked a little too far behind Kamara, and the team, you know, the defense looked terrible like it did most of the day. But for Cutter to say that kind of put the calm back in everybody, that's pretty darn telling when your offense hasn't even gotten on the field yet. So for me, it was an acknowledgement of Cutter knowing that, hey, I got to be attuned. He's very tied into the mentality of this team, which I've said all along is fragile, but now they've got confidence. Give you one example. Look at Mike Evans. He didn't just play well. He didn't just have seven catches for 140 plus yards and a touchdown. He got to stick it to Lattimore. If you don't think that's a big part of Evans' confidence, you're just not paying attention. For him to go up against a number one corner, he's struggled with some of these guys in the past, the Xavier Rhodes and the Lattimores. Now on opening day, he's got Lattimore on the ground twice, eating the dirt on big catches. Tremendous boost for Evans and DeSean Jackson. You got to hear him on last week's podcast. His speed, evident. I firmly believe he was going to have a massive year this year. Of course, they come right out and throw to him short. And that's you see more of that. You saw a lot of that last year, especially with Fitzpatrick in. They like to go to DeSean Jackson short early because he's going to get that 8-9 yard cushion that the Bucks seem to give everybody, even if they have speed or not. But, and we'll talk about the defense, but DeSean Jackson gets that short ball, a couple short ones early, sets up the deep shot. And I love that they went deep with him out of the slot on that home run ball. Fun, fun stuff. And you just see the talent in this guy. I really can't wait till the, next gen stats come out. And I really think, I believe that DeSean Jackson is going to be show to be one of the top six fastest guys in the league this year based on miles per hour that they're able to track with that stuff. I really think it's going to happen at some point. They'll track his acceleration at that rate. But hopefully his concussion and his shoulder injury coming down hard on the ball, you saw him getting massaged on the sideline, that it's something he can get past, because at 31 years old, you know, that's always something to think about. All right. What else on offense? I'm avoiding the negativity of the defense. You notice that? Because there is a lot of negativity. And for the people who want to be crazy pie in the sky with the defense did a lot of good things, let me say this. I'm just going to sum it up this way. The Bucks allowed 40 points. So the Saints scored all those 40 points because they didn't get anything on defense. The Bucks did not turn the ball over. and the Saints never really had good field position. So when you score 40 and you don't get good field position and you don't get a turnover and you lose the time of possession battle, that means you're just getting carved up left and right in ways that are almost unimaginable in football. And that's really what happened. Yeah, it's Drew Brees, sure. But, you know, sometimes Drew Brees has the benefit of turnovers and short fields and grinds the ball out with his running game. He didn't have Mark Ingram. They didn't have their top running back. Kamara showed, you know, sort of, hey, I'm not a between-the-tackles guy. And we saw a lot of that last year. He was more of a complimentary guy. His strength is in the passing game where he's unbelievable. And why the hell can't he catches the ball and Lavonte, he's less than a step from Lavonte David and Ryan Smith, and somehow he gets past them without, and through them, he splits them without being touched? What the hell is that? I mean, some really bad tackling on display, which is understandable in week one. Those of you who watch the new Tampa 2 show with Derek Brooks and Ira Kaufman heard Brooks talk about that, but Brooks didn't mean that level of extreme of not touching a guy who's right next to you. Two of them, you got him sandwiched. Anyway, the defense is bad, really bad. And Jason Pierre-Paul, if you go back, I haven't seen the All-22 film yet, but go back and watch the TV copy of JPP in the first half. Man, it's really bad. Really, really bad. And he comes off and they replace him with Will Golston, is the backup right defensive end in the way they ran it. And then JPP comes back after a bad first series and he doesn't look good. Doesn't show up on the stat sheet. And his get off is just slow. You saw this in the preseason. He's got sometimes his get off is really, really bad. It's very inconsistent. And it's really glaring next to McCoy's explosive get off. It's like, I don't know how else to say it. Just go back and watch it. JPP had a strong summer. He's a motivated guy. I don't know if he was sick or something. I'm just speculating that he really looked bad. And I expect him to bounce back. But hey, we're talking about the game, and it did not look good. Will Golston was a typical Will Golston kind of thing. Solid against the run, not much of a pass rusher. Newcomer Carl Nassib came in, played a lot more than Noah Spence did. Maybe five times as much as Spence did. Nassib coming off the right and the left side, mostly the left. Not too special, but he did break through one time and probably should have had a sack. So we'd all be talking about him today if he did. But he didn't, and that's Carl Nassib, and that's Drew Brees, and that's how it goes. But pass rush was a problem, not very good. And the usual suspects in the secondary at cornerback, we got sort of what we expected. No visible improvement from Ryan Smith and rookie cornerbacks against Drew Brees. One thing that probably troubled me the most of the defense was the play that was blown dead. You know, I can't wait to see the All-22 on it. But when Brees threw to Michael Thomas and right in front of MJ Stewart and Adarius Taylor, the strong side linebacker, and he went to the ground, got up and ran, and the play was dead, but there was no whistle, and Stewart and Taylor didn't even touch him. They just let him fall to the ground, and it really looked like the Bucs got away with avoiding a big play with the help of the refs. How are you playing and all jacked up in the Superdome, and a guy catches the ball in front of you, and you don't pounce on him? And even if he's going to the ground, I don't get it. I don't get that. Two guys. One guy, sure, maybe has a brain fart or something, but two guys? Odd. Very, very odd. Bucks defense, the mentality didn't look good. But you know what? Vernon Hargraves came to play. Quan Alexander, after a crappy start, shook off a lot of rust quickly and made some plays. Looked like the guy that we want him to be. You know, the safeties, it's just the typical stuff back there. It is Drew Brees, whatever, but without a pass rush, this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen without excellent cornerbacks. The Brent Grimes thing, I'll say this about Grimes. I'm not sure why he didn't travel to New Orleans. You know, he wouldn't be the first injured guy to travel, and if the groin wasn't that bad, you would think he'd get on the plane and watch the game and be on the sideline. So that surprised me, scared me a little bit. It's probably nothing, but Maybe the injury was worse than we thought. I don't know. But I was a little surprised that Grimes did not make the trip. At the fourth preseason game, I even got a picture of it. Grimes really spent a lot of time on the sideline with fellow defensive backs, and he's right there sort of at the edge of the field. He's clearly pointing stuff out. He's into the game. This is the fourth preseason game. He's not a diva kind of guy and just genuinely loves football and seems to love the team. I was just surprised. So we'll see. Cutter mentioned yesterday that, you know, they left him home with injuries and, you know, I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about Grimes, but, you know, we'll get an update from the team on Wednesday. Hopefully nothing comes earlier. That would mean injured reserve. So, but I don't think it's that bad. We'll see. All right. I wanted to mention the offensive line, and there's two things going on with the offensive line. One, I still don't get, and I'm going to ask Cutter this on Wednesday, but we had a rotation again at right guard. Last year was at left guard, right? Last year we had Pamphiel and Evan Smith rotating at left guard. And the team kept saying, well, nobody can win the job, so we're rotating. Meanwhile, every offensive line coach in history talks about continuity, and linemen talk about how you got to really get a feel and know the guy next to you. Meanwhile, Donovan Smith, every couple of series, he had somebody else next to him. Didn't really know who was there. So I never got that, and it seemed like a bunch of crap since they all talk about continuity, but the Bucs didn't want to have continuity by choice. And this year, or opening day, Caleb Benenock played 2/3 of the snaps at right guard, and he was rotating with Evan Smith at right guard. So why? I mean, he didn't seem to be hurt. I'm hoping he's not hurt, but it's just odd. And I hope the Bucs aren't committed to continuing to do that, because I don't think it worked last year, right? They blew up left guard and cracked me up Friday night. Dirk Cutter was on SiriusXM NFL radio, and maybe it was a slip of the tongue, I don't know what, but he talked about Ryan Jensen, and he talked about how Jensen allowed Ali Marpet to, quote, move to his natural position. Well, why the hell didn't you have him at his natural position last year is a whole nother story, but I'm not going to go back there. We're looking forward. The right guard thing, I'd like them to just pick a right guard. Give Benenock the snaps, give him the time. He played okay. You know, he's only going to get better as a young player. Give him the time. You know, unless you're coaching him up in between, which is awfully hard to do without seeing film, I'm going to hold out a little bit of hope that maybe the rotation was because of Benenock's knee injury that he was nursing. But I talked to Benenock this week in the locker room, and I'm sure that Evan Smith was just rotating in because that's what Cutter feels he wants to do. Benenock's 24 years old. He's going to get bigger, stronger, better. Let him in there and let him bang it out at right guard and learn. Ryan Jensen can shade in his direction, and it's all good. Now, Jensen, if you go back and you watch the game, if you just focus on Jensen, it's fun. This guy clearly loves hitting people. He's as advertised, and then he plays to the whistle, and he just seems to enjoy the elements of offensive line play that other Bucs offensive linemen haven't enjoyed for years. So hopefully he can rub off on other guys. If not, that's fine. Just we have a good center, and a center who will play like that. It should make a difference. Fun watching him in his first game. It is just one game, though, but fun. Donovan Smith, I give him a lot of credit coming back from a knee injury like that and playing a solid game. Yeah, he made a couple of mistakes, absolutely. If he, but that's fine. The pass blocking was extraordinary. Smith certainly wasn't a liability. And you know what? The guys looking for contracts, Ali Marpet, Donovan Smith, Quan Alexander, they ended up sort of playing well and showing their mettle. You know, Quan, slow start, but he picked it up and made some plays. And Smith manned up. Jason Light raving about him on the Buccaneers pregame show. He's got superior DNA, and this streak is incredible at 25 years old. Smith just turned 25, and he's, you know, played 49 straight games already. Ali Marpet, natural position, played well, and he got physical too, got into a little fight. Great picture. I threw it out on Twitter just for fun of him belting, getting to a fight with the Saints defensive lineman and clearly kicking the guy's ass. So that's a lot of fun. You can see that on Twitter. at Joe Bucks Fan. Hey, a quick reminder about our sponsors, Bill Curry Ford and Discount Garage Doors. I was not kidding. $500 off awaits you on anything you can find at BillCurryFord.com. Just shop there and then contact General Manager Sean Sullivan. Tell him you want to see a vehicle and let him know that you like the Bucks or you're a Joe Bucks Fan reader or you love the podcast, whatever. That'll get you $500 off that vehicle that you picked out. There's no catch. So get that done. BillCurryFord.com and DGDoors.com is Discount Garage Doors. Same day free service call, 7 days a week. Legitimate, great company serving counties, 18 counties across Florida. You know, fantastic opportunity. Use your Joe Bucks Fan code as a discount or check out their coupons at DGDoors.com. They'll get out there tomorrow and straighten out your garage door, let you really know what you need done. Just that simple. Now, the Eagles are on Sunday, and I'm not ignoring a lot of the issues that were in the Bucks game, but I feel like it's week one. You can't go so crazy dissecting everything. Let's see a pattern first. So far, we have some patterns from last year that we're looking at breaking, but let's see if this continues. Let's see if Mike Smith can finally adjust. Let's see if Dirk Cutter's extra influence on the defense can change some things. Let's see if the defensive calls are different. You know, the Saints are a different kind of team when you're playing defense because they're the Saints. So let's see how it goes. Let's not go too crazy on anybody in week one, including Ronald Jones being deactivated. He got deactivated because he's not special on special teams. I've said it before, and it was in my notes. Actually, I haven't said it here, but Ronald Jones in training camp, often Nate Katzer, the special teams coach, he was being a little sarcastic and a little bit real at the same time, barking out, "You got that, Ronald? You got that, Ronald?" He was pulling a Jeremy McNichols in some ways on special teams, just not grasping it that quickly. And we all saw the running in the preseason, not special. And, you know, the results weren't there. Doesn't mean he was brutal or that the O-line was there for him all the time. He wasn't running behind the first team offensive line, but don't read too much into him not having a helmet on in week one. But you know what? If nobody gets hurt, this might continue. Sean Wilson looked solid on special teams, on returning kicks. He didn't fumble, and his first return was pretty solid, if I remember correctly. I think he got out to like the 33-yard line, and he got a couple carries as well. So we'll see. Not going too crazy on anything in week one because it's just not worth it. Now, week two, those Eagles sacked Matt Ryan 4 times. They're built to win on defense, especially before Carson Wentz and Jeffrey comes back. So yeah, they got off to a slow start running last week. Ajayi picked it up. The Bucs are going to key on the running game and try to make Nick Foles beat them. And, you know, that they have to do that, in my opinion. Anyway, you're not going to come after Foles and, you know, maybe give up some big plays and stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of ways to do this. I shouldn't even say that. But I'm sure that they'll be looking to stop the run, make Foles one-dimensional, and take their chances. You know, he's always played well against the Bucs, but frankly, years ago, for you fans who remember, Danny Gorer in the Shiano era dropped a sure interception right in his hands from Foles that would have sealed the win. It was on the 10th anniversary day of the Bucs Super Bowl, packed house, and the Bucs lost that game. But Foles, I'm really not freaked out by playing the Eagles, even though the defense is going to be stout. Great test for this offense and for, well, as we mentioned earlier, what we've got in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, you know, likely in this game, they're going to have, because there's no reason to think anything like that will be duplicated at that level. They got to get the running game going. They have to be more consistent there. They weren't able to close the game out against the Saints, which was the goal. Make no mistake, the Bucs wanted to run that ball out and kick a field goal, and they missed the field goal, and the running the ball out, you know, wasn't really what they had going on there very well. It just, you know, you saw it with your own eyes. They didn't close the game out on the ground, which is every team's goal. And 4-minute drill is to burn the clock and move the chains and take a knee. So it didn't work as planned, but they have to be more efficient in the running game. And I think that'll come. Hopefully Donovan Smith comes out of this game well. I think the just week two is going to help a lot of these guys, because Dirk Cutter can say all he wants that the Bucks really ramped up the training camp this year. It's still kind of soft. You know, it's still not NFL football, and I think this line is going to get better with the work. You know, Dotson shook off a lot of rust. You know, he was kind of going slow through a chunk of camp and is still recovering from his knee, getting back to 100%. Marpet, new position. Jensen, first game as a Buck. That whole thing at right guard and Smith coming back. I think there's a lot of room here to gel even more for week two and get the running game going. But you also got to get a home field advantage. We call it Den of Depression, Raymond James Stadium at JoeBucksFan.com. And you've got to win more than you lose at home. And that's why the nickname exists, because the Bucks haven't had a winning record at home in a long, 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 long time. You got to win at home. You want to be a special team. You got to have a home field advantage. We say this crap every year. Now is the time. Now is the time to go 2-0. And I'm going to say it here. I believe that they're catching the Eagles at just the right time. Fitz is healthy. I feel terrible making a prediction without knowing if Grimes or DeSean Jackson are going to play, because those are two playmakers on your team. And there might be some other injuries we don't know about. The Eagles, it's pretty clear already. I mean, they played 10 days, or they played Thursday night, so you got much better sense of what's going on with them. But if the Bucs are pretty healthy and there's no big surprises, I think they win this game. I really do. I think they're going to come out and find a way to score. If the guy can freaking kick, which he couldn't last week, whether it was blocked or not, the kicking game has to get on on track. You can't, if it's a snapper or whatever it is, it's got to be right. I don't care the reason why. Bottom line, I'm going to go Bucks 20 and Eagles 17, and then we're going to have a parade. So, and that parade will continue back here next week on the Monday Morning Joe podcast. Don't forget our other podcast, Bucks Uncensored, the Ira Kaufman podcast, Bobby Fenton, and The Free Stretch, also presented by Bill Curry Ford. We're happy to do this and talk. It's just a neat way to share more Bucks love. And, you know, tens of thousands of listeners tune into the podcast, which is really, really cool. Subscribe, iTunes, Podbean, or Google Play. And that's it. I appreciate you listening. If you made it this far, you're a trooper. And we'll see you next week.